This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning and welcome to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your weekly host, and we are now in our 18th year of bringing great local information to our listeners about our community and about real estate. And the show got started 18 years ago when real estate was in the news big time. Statistics were moving big, especially nationally, but not so much locally. We didn't shoot up like a rocket like maybe New York City did, and we certainly didn't drop like a rocket would, like some of those big metropolitan areas. We were a little more stable. And John Oslin, the owner of the radio station, said, why don't you do a local real estate show, giving the local news, what's happening here. Let people know what their homes are worth. Let them know that really good information. So we've been doing that for a long time now. And I want to thank our sponsor, the Community Housing Council of Fresno. They are making this show possible. And if you want to stream the show, you can go to www.kynofresno.com. Or you can put it on your mobile app by going to KYNO 940 AM. Download the app, and then you can hear it and music during the week, too. Speaking of that, we started 18 years ago. KYNO was a 5,000-watt station. We're now a 50,000-watt station, so we've really, really grown. And way back then, we also had a young guy in the business on the show. Well, he's still around, and he's back here today, and that would be Tommy Smith of Realty Concepts.
Hey, good morning, Don.
Good morning, Tommy. So what year did you start in real estate?
2003.
Okay, so you weren't quite a rookie in 2009 when we started.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've had the fortune or misfortune of learning a lot from me, because yep. we work in the same office. Tommy has backed me up on a lot of transactions. And how's that been for you, Tommy? For all the listeners, you should see his face right now. I don't think he's going to say what he wants to say. Please don't.
I won't. No, it's been tremendous. It's been really good, and we'll talk about some of that in the near future.
All right. Hey, speaking of real estate statistics, I pulled some up yesterday, and tell me, is this newsworthy or not? Is this much of a move? So last year, from January 1st until May 22nd, there were 2,230 solds. All right. Well, we have more this year. Things have really, really moved. There are 26 more sales, so 1% more.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you at all?
No, it doesn't.
All right. Here's something that's different, though. We do have more homes for sale. There's 1,447 right now, active listings. And I think in the previous years, that has been lower. In fact, at one point, I'm going to say probably in 2021, it was down to like 600.
Yeah.
That was tough back then, eh?
It was, yes.
All right. Now, let me give you some prices, too, because that matters. Last year, at this time, the median sale price was $428,000. This year, $429,000. So there's been a $1,000 gain. I'm going to say this sounds like a pretty stable market.
Yeah, no, it does. And The good thing about this radio show being local is those numbers might get misconstrued on other channels or other outside markets. Mm-hmm. And so I think you said it kind of best on the opening of Fresno is its own little entity, its own little market. And we're not like New York. We're not like San Francisco. So those numbers seem right where we should be.
Yeah. And that's what it even just working out there as you're taking buyers around looking at homes or you're talking to sellers about selling their home. It's nice to know that we're somewhat stable.
Yeah, no, it is.
And now if you go on social media, not that way at all.
Correct.
In fact, they might take here's a number that seems like it's moving. Last year at this time, the median days on the market was 18. Now it's at 27.
Yeah.
So that's quite a jump.
Yes.
But 27 is still short.
Yeah, it is. And the thing about, we've used this, and I love this analogy, but I love numbers don't lie. And so when you have these solid numbers directly from our multiple listing service, that tells you that tells you the truth. It's a truth, you know, serum.
Yeah, that's right. Numbers don't lie, but someone can misconstrue them.
Yes.
Yeah, by massaging the numbers.
Sure.
And that's why you got to listen to the whole story. I remember one time I got quoted in a newspaper as saying, well, a 20% drop in price isn't that great, period. That's what was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
What I had actually said did not have a period at that point in the sentence. What I had said was 20% is not that great if you compare it to the 25% rise that we had the three previous years. That's 75%.
Yes.
And here it dropped 20 or adjusted 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I always remember that one. Well, Don, that one doesn't fit the narrative. That's why we didn't correct it. That's one of the reasons this show got started.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to just end a sentence in 5 seconds.
Correct.
We got a whole hour to say it like it is. Okay, forgetting the numbers, tell me what you think about the market. What's it like for a buyer and a seller right now in today's local market?
I've been dealing with mostly sellers this year, and for the early part of the year, it felt like I was trying to catch the market and also give sellers the right knowledge of our market and maybe expectations. You know, real estate is like riding a wave, right? We're surfers sometimes. We're trying to hit that big wave, but we're also trying to ride that wave. And sometimes you're not going to ride the wave. And I mean, for the first part of, you know, this year for me, I was slow. And then next thing you know, I'm 5 escrow deep within 1 month. And so I just feel like we're still trying, the market's still trying to catch up to itself. A good example was a great house I had on the market in Clovis that we knew where the value was, but there hadn't been any comps in a year, maybe, you know, 9 months to a year to where appraisers couldn't give it its true value. So we had a fight for it, and we ended up, you know, getting $250,000 over what the market or what appraisers or the appraisal market would tell us it was worth. And that was a fight.
So sometimes there's not a usable comp.
Yeah, 100%.
I just experienced that. I got that sorority house that I had listed in escrow.
Yeah.
Now, finding a comp was difficult because the last one that sold in that area in Fresno was, remember, a sorority house, fraternity house is very unique.
100%.
Well, anyway, it was, I think, 21 years ago was the last one that sold, so that didn't add anything. You couldn't use an income approach because the home is being vacated.
Yeah.
And going to be sold empty. So finding value took someone who's local.
Yeah.
And could find that value despite not having numbers to work with.
Correct. And they knew, they have, by being local, they know the knowledge of what the possibility is. They know the area, they know what it's for, you know, it's for student housing. And so it's like they know, they can see that vision mm-hmm. of what it's truly worth.
Right. Right. Where do you see the market going for the rest of this year?
I think those numbers that you gave will probably hold. I think our, I don't see us, our medium going much higher, which is good. If you're a consumer and you're driving around, you're noticing that new homes are still being built. You know, from Clovis to Fresno to Kingsburg, they're still being built. So there's definitely a product out there or a niche for buyers out there that are, that it's still going strong because they're mm-hmm. still building. And shoot, even into Madera. So I feel like we're gonna hold strong. I think it just all comes back down to the expectations of what we think, what a seller thinks their home is worth. And it's, I think as, you know, we, I used that word vision earlier, and it's like, we still have to have, I think as a realtor, I knew in my heart that that home that I just recently sold in Clovis was worth more than what XYZ.
Sometimes it's worth more than what you can put a figure on your calculator.
100%.
Yeah.
Between upgrades or the desirability of the location. I mean, there's a reason that no one sold in there for a year. Everyone loves the location. No one yeah. wants to leave, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, how do you, you know, apples to apples comps? You can't.
Right. All right. It's time for our first commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to take a road trip up the hill to Oakhurst and see what the market's like there from agent Justin Berigian. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. Do you remember when it first started? Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio, we have Tommy Smith from Realty Concepts. And on the line, we have Justin Berigian of Realty Concepts from the Oakhurst office. Welcome, Justin.
Thanks, Don. Happy to be here.
All right. We would like to learn a little bit about that mountain community of Oakhurst. How long have you been selling real estate up in that area?
I've been up here just a little over 3 years.
3 years. All right. Are you from Oakhurst?
Yeah, I grew up here, went to Yosemite High School. I'm as local as it gets up here.
All right, excellent. How is the current market there? Because it's got to be different than us flatlanders down here, because you have different things that you offer. You probably have more vacation homes than Fresno and Clovis yeah. have. So what's it like?
Yeah, for sure. So generally speaking, apples to apples, our market performs a little bit slower than the cities do, just because of all the nuances of all the extra stuff you have to worry about, septic, well, survey boundaries and such. But Oakhurst right now is doing okay. We didn't really get the big spring push that we were hoping for, but there is some eager buyers out there looking to make a deal. So days on market take a little bit longer here. On average, it's about 3 to 4 months to sell a home. But the homes that are selling in a quicker amount of time for that are turnkey homes, and sellers being a little bit more reasonable about what the market is currently doing. So we're seeing renewed buyer interest, which is helpful, even though days on market are a little bit longer than we were hoping they would be.
I'm glad you shared that with us about the 3 to 4 months, because that's what it used to be like, even here in Fresno mm-hmm. and Clovis. It would take 3 to 4 months to sell. That was kind of normal. Then we got into an overheated market. Then we got into an oversupplied market, and it's been crazy. And it's like Tommy said, it's like riding a wave.
Yeah. And if you look historically, if we pull 20, and I was just looking the other day, 2019, 2018 numbers, right before COVID, we are like pretty much mirroring that market and how long it takes to sell a home and generally inventory levels and stuff. So things are pretty much leveling out to what they were pre-COVID.
All right. So we're getting back to normal.
Hey, Justin, this mm-hmm. is Tommy. I have a question. On that 3 to 4 on the days on the market, if that was Fresno, Clovis, buyers would frown upon it or look negative on mm-hmm. it. Is that a different mentality up there?
Yeah, I think I run into buyers who aren't familiar with the area, and I just actually had one this morning. She was like, hey, this house has been on the market since February, what's wrong with it? And I was like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, we don't have the kind of activity that you're going to see in a more urban area. And so I think the buyers who are savvy and who know well and have good agents who can navigate them aren't scared of something that's going to be sitting for a little bit. And we have to prep our sellers as well, because sometimes seller expectations are really hard to temper. But yeah, I would say it's a normal thing. Buyers aren't necessarily freaking out or sending lowball offers on a home that's been on the market for 3 months. That's just kind of a normal thing up here.
Okay, I have a question for you too, Justin. You mentioned septic, well, boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that sellers will typically do before they even list the property? Get those reports done?
I think I'd say it's probably about 50-50. I think most sellers have unfortunate expectations about their septic system. I run into some folks who are like, oh yeah, I've never had to pump it or never inspected it. I was like, how long have you owned the house? They're like, oh, 15, 20 years. And I get a little nervous at that point. But I'd say about half the sellers are probably getting the septic certification prior to listing. And maybe not the well as much, only because it's kind of costly to get a well inspection.
What kind
of costs?
But outside
of that, you see. Yeah, so generally speaking, the productivity cost for a well inspection here on a private well is going to be anywhere from like $375 to maybe $500. And then most folks are pairing that with a water bacteria analysis to see what's in the water. And that can be like an extra $150 on top of it. So a full-blown inspection of a well could be $600 to $800. So it could be quite the cost.
All right. But at least it's still in the hundreds, not the thousands.
Exactly. Yeah.
How about septics? What kind of cost is involved there?
Septic systems, there is kind of a common misnomer I find from folks out of the area, assuming that the septic always needs to be pumped. But our local septic inspectors are going to have a standard level. They're going to inspect the septic. And if it doesn't need to be pumped, it doesn't need to be pumped. But up here, I'd say about $350 to $500 is going to get you one of our better septic inspectors up here to give you a certification, and they're going to check the tank, the leach field, stress test it to see if it's percolating correctly. But yeah, it's I'm not typically paying more than $500 for a septic inspection.
All right. Now, how about the boundary inspections? I'll bet there's a lot of transactions where the buyer doesn't even request a boundary, maybe because there's fences up. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate to say. I would say generally speaking, like a survey, it all depends on what you're asking the surveyor to do. If they're just marking corners, or maybe they're marking one line. But typically speaking, the reason why buyers don't do that is because it's quite costly. I had a survey of a 20-acre parcel just in the fall of last year, and it was about $2,500. And so for a buyer expense to have that done in an escrow.
Right, right.
But generally speaking, if it's 20 acres, most of the time the buyers aren't even going to see the edges of that property anyway. So,
right.
But I'm not seeing, I'm maybe less than 10% of my buyers are actually doing a survey of some sort.
That's what I was looking for. So around 10% are doing that. Can see that, because if you're buying 20 acres, 10 acres, does it really matter which rock or boulder is your boundary?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're really, most folks are not using more than maybe a half to one full acre of that. You know, the people who want 20 acres may want some recreational aspects of the property. But outside of that, the average person here is going to be only using, like I said, about a half to a full acre.
All right. Here's a tough question for you now. Why Oakhurst?
Sure.
Why should somebody look to buy in the Oakhurst area?
Yeah, so, I mean, similar to, you look at Fresno and the Central Valley, we're one of the more affordable parts in all of California, right? Which is really great. People think California, they think higher prices and stuff. But Oakhurst is great because we don't have the Fresno heat. If you don't like those triple digits, we're on average about 10 degrees cooler than the valley, depending on where you're at. And we're close to Yosemite. Most of Oakhurst is within 25 minutes of Yosemite National Park. Bass Lake is right around the corner. So if you want easy mountain living, Oakhurst is definitely the place to go. And we're still within about 45 minutes to major services in Fresno. And our housing prices are a little bit cooler than the Fresno-Clovis area.
I thought you were going to say something like you guys have a talking bear up there.
Apologies. We have, yeah, the talking bear is definitely a big draw.
My kids, every time we'd go to Yosemite, my kids would insist that we stop by the talking bear. They like that more than they did Half Dome.
Yeah, and at Christmas time they have it through the night before Christmas little the story there, so it's kind of fun.
What kind of schools are up there in Oakhurst? You mentioned you went there.
Yeah, so Oakhurst area has, you know, there's Oakhurst Elementary, Oak Creek Intermediate, so that's the elementary and the junior high, and then Yosemite High School is our high school. We also have a really booming, there's the Mountain Home Charter School. It's still considered a public school, even though it's a charter school, and a lot of folks want to do that. And then we've got our neighboring communities with Coarse Gold and Ahwahnee, and even like O'Neill's. They all have their own individual elementary schools as well.
All right. My last question before we go to commercial break, what's your best real estate advice for people?
Yeah, my best real estate advice for people is to hire a local agent, especially when you're dealing with mountain properties and the many nuances about that. Knowing someone who knows the market well and who knows all the things that could go wrong will help minimize risk and make sure that you're getting the best deal and the best home. So yeah, use a local agent whenever possible.
All right. Very good. That's Justin Berigian of Realty Concepts up in the Oakhurst office. Justin, I want to thank you for sharing your information with us, and we're going to be right back after this commercial break.
Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is your guest host, Tommy Smith. This is 18 years in the making of trying to sit in this seat behind the controllers and finally interviewing the man, the myth, the legend, Don Scordino.
I thought you were going to stop at the myth and not say the legend, because I can buy into the myth part.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Tommy and I just switched seats. We're going to give him a run at this. Let's see how he does.
Oh, man, I'm ready. So Don, earlier in our first segment, asked what I have learned from Don. So I think one of the biggest things that I've ever gained from Don is being calm. And I'll use the analogy of a duck on a pond. It's moving along. Everything seems peaceful and cute. But underneath that water, that little duck is moving its little feet 100 miles per hour. And that, to me, is real estate. We are that duck. And so myself and Don always use sports analogies when it comes to real estate. It's our love language. So to me, escrows, and I'll give you an example of one of my last closings where we were on the 1 yard line on a Friday afternoon, Don, and I'm about to hand the ball off to Walter Payton, the greatest Chicago Bear of all time. And that's an easy touchdown, right? He is going to score.
Of course.
But real estate is like that duck. So what happens? There was an error at the recorder's office. Meanwhile, the sellers got movers ready to go the next day, painters at their new property the next day. You name it, I was in it. And so one of the compliments I got from that seller was, how did you stay so calm when he was going crazy? And so, again, I think I learned that from you. So we all know that you could be on the 1 yard line, but, oh, there's a false start. Oh, the quarterback fumbled the ball. The what ifs, right? So in your experience as a local realtor, broker, what is your secret to your success? Because you wouldn't be, and I don't know if in this show if how many people realize, Don is in the top 5% in the Valley as a realtor, maybe top 3. I'll give you that. I'll give you 3.
That's all?
Numbers don't lie. So you've been doing this for a long time. What has made you very successful? And I've seen a lot of those traits, but can you tell your local audience, mm-hmm, what do you think some secrets are?
Well, here's how to stay calm when you're on the 1 yard line and something comes up, like in your situation. First of all, I haven't heard that story, but what the error at the recorder's office, but that doesn't happen very often.
No, it's that 1% chance, right?
Yeah, right. What's important is focus. So it's too easy to panic and lose focus that, oh my gosh, the painters are coming and what are they going to do? Or the moving van's coming. But if you focus outwardly and say, we're buying a beautiful home, we're moving into our forever home, that is where the focus is. And sure, there's issues along the way. Inconveniences. Oh, there's a good one.
Yeah.
Is it a necessity or an inconvenience?
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, you may have to tell the painter, sorry, you got to come back Monday. But I guarantee it's not the first time the painter had to do that.
Yeah, correct.
And same thing with the moving companies. So don't lose focus on the big picture by just focusing on the immediate problem.
Yeah, correct.
I had one where the key got lost. And it was, oh my gosh, it was like everybody was so worried. But it's like, give us an extra couple hours, we'll get a locksmith out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's where your local realtor, like Justin was saying, can pay off. We have those resources. We know a local locksmith. We know a local painter. I had one where that situation happened with a painter and we had to postpone them. And I said, hey, I got another place you can go. It needs some touch-up paint. So I gave him something to do for the next day.
Yeah. And I think by having that calm mentality or balance that we're able to give to our clients is we can't one, I want them to bounce their negative energy onto me just because I'm not freaking out. And then I think, like you just said, we have so much knowledge of vendors. I think we're great with our team, our escrow team. I think we treat everybody with value. And I think that comes back to us in so many ways of it got corrected. That recording thing got corrected because I didn't call that escrow officer and go crazy on them because my client was upset. But if I would have got upset too, I wouldn't have been able to be, hey, how can we rectify this? Can I go down to the recorder's office and pick up what needs to be corrected and bring it to you? So I think having that calmness, again, I think you're great at it. So I think that's just something that's helped you elevate your business through the years.
Can I correct you on something?
Yeah.
I'm only calm on the outside. Inside, man, I'm
we're like the duck. We're like the duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I believe that that's part of the value that the realtor brings is managing expectations,
yes.
Managing emotions. And I learned that on one of my very, very first sales when I was in my early 20s. Me and the buyer went to do a final walkthrough, and the people hadn't even begun moving. And I freaked out. I'm panicking. And my buyer, who was in, I'm in my early 20s, he's in his 70s. He goes, Don, calm down. Calm down. Everything's going to be all right. He goes, you need to go fishing. So, and what he taught me is that, yeah, we'll work this out. And we did. It took an extra week or two, but hey, we made it.
For either listeners or your fellow associates, what has made you successful for 40 plus years? That's not a dig on your age either.
Okay. Although you're undercutting it, it's 50 plus years that I've been.
I was trying to be nice.
Full time in real estate. Wake up every morning, lean forward, and let momentum carry me. But here's the other thing. Take good care of your clients, and they'll take good care of you.
So since I've worked with you, I want to say you are on third generations of families. And I think that is...
You're undercutting me again, Tommy.
Are we on fourth?
Well, one family is fourth generation.
Okay, so I know... Okay. So, again, I think that just comes back to you as, you know, a realtor and what you do and how you value your clients.
Oh, yeah. We're all friends. We're all family. And just take good care of them. And I remember giving that advice to somebody new. I told him that. And here, 10 minutes later in our conversation, I had a old client call me up and say, hey, do you remember me? You sold them. I said, of course I do. You know, and then they said, I just want you to know that our neighbor is going to be selling their home and we gave your name to them. So see, they were taking care of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Don, you also get into the political side of real estate. So can you give us, your listeners, a little bit of background of past presidencies of the association?
Sure.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, first of all, the word political seems divisive nowadays, but we got to remember housing is for everybody, and what's good for housing is good for everybody. It doesn't matter who you voted for. It's what's good for housing. I have dealt with local, state, and national leaders. I've been to Congress back in Washington, D.C., and spoke on housing issues. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we were instructed, don't talk about the gray whales, stick to housing.
Yeah.
So, because that's what we know something about. One time I went to a city council meeting here in Fresno, and I was going to speak on a housing issue. And one of the city councilmen said, I notice that some realtors are in the office. We'd like to talk to them and hear about this. So they tabled the discussion on this ordinance until they could speak with us. And we were able to give some really excellent feedback that the proposal that was out there was not going to logistically work. And we told them how it could work. They ended up making some tweaks to it, and a couple of months later, it went to city council for a vote, and it got voted up.
You mentioned earlier on staying focused on a house, and that's similar to what you were just talking about with don't talk about the gray whale. Stay focused on the narrative of the housing. So I think that's, one of your biggest strengths.
Yeah. And in the next segment, I'd like to talk about another thing on focus, because I see a lot of lack of focus in the market right now.
We're going to head to commercial break. When we come back, some more with Don Scordino.
Tommy, you're not too bad at this.
Welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is the new host going forward. Every Saturday morning, I can't.
You're not pushing me out, are you?
We're not pushing Don out yet.
Yet.
Don, as we were ending that last segment, we were using that keyword term of focus, which is underrated word in the real estate business. What can you say about focus and real estate?
It is so extremely important, and that is one of the biggest jobs that we human realtors can give, is to keep people's perspective and their focus in line. If you used a robot as your realtor, I'm not so sure. It'd probably be a lot easier to get off of focus.
Yeah.
I just can't see AI telling you, Tommy, go back to focus. Well, maybe they would, but okay. But let me give you a great example. The value of a property is equal to its location, its size, its amenities, such as does it have a swimming pool, does it have solar, granite countertops, but also its condition. Now, what's the easiest thing to change out of all of those? The two end caps, either price or condition.
Correct.
You can't change the location, can't very easily change the size, and it's expensive to change the amenities. But I see way too many people lose focus. Maybe the buyer is successful in getting their offer accepted by the seller. They get into escrow, they do inspections, and maybe have 100-plus pages of inspection reports between home inspection, termite, roof, sewer line, all that stuff. And it's too easy to lose focus and say, oh my gosh, there's dry rot on the garage eave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait, put some focus back on the location and the price that you were happy with just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And how easy is it to change that dry rot?
Yeah, correct. And then, I mean, if you're looking at, again, you found your dream house, and if you're worried about something like that, that's you're losing that focus. You're losing that heartbeat of why you were doing this in the first place and what you were, you know, trying to get in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. And it used to be said, location, location, location are the three most important words in real estate. I haven't heard it too much lately, but don't forget, location is important. And location could just be a matter of convenience to your job, schools. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean the neighborhood. It's what's convenient for you personally.
Yeah. Don, you touched on another little trigger word, and that was AI. So I think, in my opinion, real estate is a service industry driven occupation. I grew up in the restaurant business. I did that for years. I was always like that self-servant kind of personality. I think you have that as well. How do you see our industry changing with that AI? So to me, an automated guesstimate does not tell on that AI that you're in a top three California elementary school. You have this pool, or this builder who is recognized in the Valley as one of the best builders built your house. Where do you see, give me your picture. You always give me this kind of little analogy, but where do you see the real estate market in 5, maybe 10 years?
Two scenarios could happen. If the human realtors use AI as a tool, we're going to be fine. And so will home buyers and home sellers, and the market will. But if we human realtors start using it as a crutch, something to rely on that way, mm-hmm. then it's going to take over.
Yeah. And I think that's what, and just going out in the community, or if you're out to eat, or you just see so much of service industries starting to cave a little bit or weaken. And I really hope that real estate isn't like that, because again, you have fourth generation clients because of that knowledge, because of that, you know, respect for your clients. So I just don't want to see that become an AI computer mm-hmm. type industry.
I just told this to a client yesterday who was telling me that online his house was worth $1.1 million, mm-hmm. but he really felt it was worth $1.2 million. And more importantly, his realtor thought it was worth $1.2 million. Well, the difference is the two humans that walked through the house, the seller and the realtor, they saw the beauty of that home.
Yeah.
They saw the value of it. The computer model, they're called AVMs, Automated Valuation Model. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the benefit of walking through the home and seeing some of the upgrades see how well kept it is. So remember that formula I gave: value is equal to location, size plus amenities plus condition.
Yeah.
That AVM model just has to go on averages around the neighborhood.
Correct. Don, let's put you on the spot a little bit. Give me a funny real estate story that's happened to you.
All right, let's see. Man, you're throwing me here.
I know.
Okay.
Just trying to test how good the host is normally.
Yeah.
Put you on the spot.
By the way, I just thought of something about my calmness.
Yeah.
I didn't get all upset or nervous or anything when you said you were the new host.
You kind of puckered up a little bit in your seat.
Yeah. But
you put your chest out a little bit.
You just don't have the face for radio like I do, Tommy.
Well, that's questionable.
All right. One of the
funny, good-hearted story. Give me one.
Here's one. I recently had one. Oh, and it'll tie in with our last conversation too about AI. I recently helped some people that were so thankful. So, and each of them sent me a separate text message with some of the most beautiful words and just really made me feel appreciated. And when I told them that, I said, man, thank you. I really liked working with you guys. You guys were so trusting. I loved it. Then the guy went and ruined it and said, yeah, we used AI to write it. Oh, but I just thought of something else on AI. So remember a few years ago, I taught a class called How to Use AI to Increase Your Productivity?
Yeah.
Bunch of realtors showed up for the class only to find out that when they got there, they found out AI meant actual intelligence. I told them, hey, some of this stuff, you just got to know it. You can't look it up on your phone all the time. The brown street sign means you're in Clovis. The green one means you're in Fresno.
Yeah.
Know that stuff.
Or it's even like alluvial, Bedford,
oh, yeah.
Cromwell, Decatur.
Whoa. You have learned something from me.
Man.
So for our listeners, what that is north of alluvial, all the residential streets go alphabetically. Athens, Bedford, Cromwell, Decatur, El Paso, Fallbrook, Goshen.
Yeah.
I forgot my ABCs, so I'm going to stop right there.
Don, as I'm winding down my time as guest host, let me ask you the million-dollar question that you ask of all of your radio hosts. How great am I? No, I'm just kidding. It is, what's your best real estate advice?
Deal locally. Yeah, and I know that I say that all the time, but with...
I'm going to cut you off. What's the benefit of local?
Oh.
Real quick.
Yeah. Actual intelligence.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh. Wait.
Hey, you're on something new.
Yeah. So your local realtor's going to have actual intelligence about the market, whereas somebody from San Jose who's trying to be here has to rely on artificial rather than actual. Ooh, I like that.
One time I remember, Don, that me and you had a deal, and we had an appraiser totally come out to the wrong area. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They were an out of the city. And so, again, to your knowledge of, or you're saying, you know, local, here this poor appraiser had no clue about the Buchanan High District. They were totally, like, you know, I think on the other side of 99, if I'm not mistaken, trying to, and they're like, hey, where's this place at? We're like, you are way off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even that, it's like, how are they going to know the benefits or the value of things like that?
Right. And they were right on the border of the Clovis, that home.
Yeah.
Right on the border of the Clovis School District and the Fresno School District. And there's also a big age difference in homes there. They were lost.
For sure.
Literally.
Yeah,
I remember that. They were from Sacramento.
They were from Sacramento, yeah.
Why the bank would send an appraiser from Sacramento to do a Fresno appraisal, I don't know.
Yeah, correct. I know. Well, I'm going to wrap up my time as guest host. I got to thank the real host, Don Scordino, for allowing me to sit in his chair. Come back next Saturday. Don Scordino will be your host again. Thanks, Don.
You're quitting? All right. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, Don.